I'm terribly sorry, sir, but your credit card
your
has been declined.
Your unemployment benefits ran out two
like,
weeks
what
ago.
What do you mean I'm overdrawn?
2 weeks ago.
I still have checks left. Checks
2 weeks
left.
Ago.
Too much month left over at the end of the money? Bad credit holding you back? Want to become a real estate investor but haven't won the lottery? Learn how to fix your credit. Get out of debt and build true financial independence with real estate in 2 hours a week. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She'll show you how, without winning the lottery or working 10 jobs. And here's your host, Heather Wagenhall.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks so much for stopping by. And for this fabulous August 6, 2011, we are broadcasting live from the UnlockYourWealth.com studios. And boy, do we have a great show today. Not only is today's show Hope for the Best, Plan for the Worst, and a super important key, specifically to bolster your confidence in your plan, we also have my personal neurolinguistic programming coach and trainer in a reprise interview. Stopping by, we will have Bill Thomason from our season, our very first season. And we're doing a reprise interview, and I am so excited because this is going to be so proximal to what you're learning now, especially after last week's Take Emotion Out of the Picture. We're really going to go to the next level today with what we're going to talk about with Hope for the Best, Plan for the Worst. So I'm so excited. Just to give you a little bit of a background, Bill Thomason is a neuro-linguistic programming coach and trainer. And let me just tell you, if you have heard, oh yeah, I've heard of those people, he actually makes a very comfortable living at it. And what's so great about Bill as a full-time NLP coach and trainer is that his background is he trained with some of the original NLP guys. Specifically, he went on the road and built Tony Robbins. If you have any respect for that man and are amazed with his personal power and confidence, then you will definitely be impressed with Bill Thomason. And he has the NLP Coaching and Skills Training Institute. He's pretty fabulous. He's got a litany of credentials. He has a background in psychology in addition working under direct tutelage of some pretty spectacular guys. But I won't belabor you with his resume. I just want you to hear this interview. And for folks that are just tuning in for the first time, again, this is from our first season. So this is just a snippet of one of the great interviews that we've had on Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And I just thought it was so valuable for today that I wanted to share this with you guys. So here we go. Here's my interview with Bill Thomason.
Why do people complain about certain behaviors within themselves but fail to make the necessary changes?
Question you're asking is pretty much one we all deal with. We all get stuck by something, don't we?
Yeah.
So what we're looking at is people have an idea about things, but they don't get all the pieces in place. We say in NLP that you really want to figure out, well, what it is you want, because lots of people know what they don't want. So when people come to me for coaching, most often that's what I'm dealing with, is having them shift from what they don't want, first of all, to what they do want, and then the whole idea that you need some sort of opportunity to accomplish something. So you decide you want something, you get the opportunity, you actually create that opportunity, you also need the energy to. So one thing is about, we talk a lot about state work. So what is state? State's the energy you have to actually achieve anything that you want. Some people don't have the physical help, they don't have the emotional help, they don't have the whatever it takes for them to take action. So just having the decision and the opportunity and the energy to still didn't make anything happen until you actually do take action. So that's the key issue for people. And people are stopped for all kinds of reasons.
And part of the difficult thing for people, at least this is what I have seen and experienced in my mortgage practice and my real estate practice, is that people just can't seem to accept responsibility for their actions. And now I know that most of these actions and some of these limiting behaviors that people have is something that was set in motion that had nothing to do with them, from possibly single event learning scenarios or stuff that they observed from their parents. For example, the money management skills I took into the world when I became my own person was, if you have a coupon or it's on sale, you have a moral obligation to buy it. Whether or not you need it is not relevant. Whether or not you have 10 of the same thing back at home in the wrappers unused, you still need to get that because you have to save money, and that's the way you save money, by spending it. And I remember that term in the late 90s called spaving. Honey, I just bought this dress. It was 50% off. I saved so much money. And the husband goes, imagine how much more you would have saved if you just wouldn't have bought it.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we get caught in these really destructive habits, and I can go on ad nauseum with some of the examples. Every time my girlfriend and her husband would get into a fight, she would go out and blow a couple $1,000 on her credit card. And she goes, that's just what you do. And I said, but you're not getting him back. You're burying yourself in debt. And that came from when she was small, and when her parents would fight, her mother would round her and her sister up, and off to the mall they would go to blow some cash. That's what her mother would do. But the difference between her and her mother is, you know, her parents were affluent. They had money. She didn't. Her mother was spending cash. And so this pattern she took with her into adulthood.
Well, I think you've actually hit on the really core thing. In fact, we call it the core programming. So if you think about the whole computer model of people, we've all got a pretty similar hardware. We've all got like that CPU unit that computers started in, the big box, and we're not that much different from person to person. Where the differences are is more in the software. So NLP actually started around this computer metaphor. NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. It is the success technology that took Anthony Robbins to become the number one motivational speaker in the world, and lots of other people to be extremely successful. It's that core programming really does start really early. And it's, some people say it's in place, your core programming in place by age 4 or 5, and most of us do make decisions that make up our programming. One of the core decisions you made was to be like your mom. Another decision was probably to be like your dad. And the good news is that you probably got some good programming there. Bad news? Well, you got a bunch of stuff that's not really useful to you as adults. So the first thing that you're in your scenarios that's really great is that you're beginning to identify that something about the programming is limiting. It's not actually getting you as much of what you want. So as you begin to get that there's something not working, then you can get really serious and really on target about where you are now. So we want to start from here. And taking a really, I understand that it's part of what you're doing, is having people really look and see what the reality of things are right now. Taking a good, whole, cold, hard eye and examining your buying habits, the way you think about money, the way your parents thought about money will give you big insights into that, and the way they use money, because you probably are doing just what, I want to be like my mommy, I want to be like my daddy, what that called for you to do in your life as an adult. And now taking a good look at it, how do you change it? For most people, if you think about this, most people, based on the core programming, don't change much in their lives. So what we're talking about is, well, how do you actually create change? Because we are habitual creatures. We make patterns out of everything. And what NLP is a technology for profound personal change. We've actually studied what the mechanisms are. Well, how do you wake up tomorrow after 30, 40 years of being a smoker and just not smoke anymore? We get people with those kinds of behaviors that shift change very profoundly, and they just don't have the behavior anymore. We also get people who do a little bit of work on something, and the prosperity issue is a really great one because it's measurable. I mean, we can do some work on you and you're going to be happier. It's a little harder to measure that than it is, I want to make an extra $100,000 this year, or I want to reach the $2 million mark, wherever it is for you in the goal setting part of it, whatever it is for you, we say is possible if you can make a decision at a deep emotional level that's actually going to shift or change the programming there. So this technology I work with actually has lots of different ways of getting there. Does that make sense, Heather?
Oh, absolutely. And let's take a specific instance and how can we apply that? Because, you know, one of the things that I always tell people when they come to me and they say they want help, yet they're resistant to change, either because, one, they won't admit they have an issue, but people, in my experience, don't change until the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change. And then when the change part is the easy part because they're so uncomfortable with where they're at, then and only then will they make the difference and make that change. Would you agree?
That's absolutely right. And I think what we're pointing to now is that, well, there's, if I get enough pain, I'll make a change. The big question is, will it be a permanent change? So how do you get that programming in at the deeper emotional level where you just begin to operate your life in a different way than you had before? We got to get into that deeper level programming to do that. So the next phase in this is, well, how do you get a new program in? And how do you make sure that you, there's a part you said, affirmation and acceptance. Well, the affirmation part, well, you want to say things in the positive. You want to actually shift your language. These are things you can do. Every listener out there can begin to get more aware of, more conscious of, because in neuro-linguistic programming, narrow brain and nervous system, linguistic language, not only what we say inside our heads and to others, but what we're doing with our bodies, all of that is creating the programming, so you begin to listen to language first. So first piece is, well, the places where you use the word but would be a good example. So where you use the word but, it actually negates the sentence before. So if I'm noticing that your shoes are really a nice color of brown and your skirt seems to match that, but your top is white, what's the impact?
I didn't hear the first part.
Yeah, you're just waiting for the other foot to fall, right? So there's
something
about the word but that actually has an impact that isn't the one you intended. There's also, if I just say now your nice color of shoes and your skirt matches and your top is white, you don't get that but in there, do you? It's a whole different meaning. So what's the impact of that?
Well, now I don't feel bad about my top being white, even though my shoes and skirt are brown.
Exactly. So there's little things like that, and then there's just in language that you want something to happen in your life. You want language that has action in it. Lots of us use language like, well, I'm kind of thinking about the possibility of maybe it'll come out this way, and we could, in some eventuality, take some kind of action that eventually would have some effect in the world. Now, you know people who talk this way. And
that's such wishy-washy, non-committal language.
And you don't see action occurring in their lives until they actually get, if it's about you want your child, especially a male child, to go out and cut the grass, well, I cut the grass. I cut grass. That's a direct statement that actually has some action attached to it. So beginning to get the qualifiers and the quantifiers out of your language has a big impact. So action language stated in the positive, not the negative. So you want things that it's not what I don't want, it's what you do want. So you want to shift sometimes from, you'll notice that it's actually a little difficult sometimes to get the negative out of the language because you're so clear about what you don't want that you have to look for, well, what's the opposite of the thing that I'm avoiding? Well, if I'm avoiding foreclosure on my house, then I want to shift it from avoiding foreclosure, which on the good side does actually build up the moving away from, avoid pain model of things. You want to get to, I want to actually create a sound portfolio. I want to be successful with my finances. So you're getting language that you can even begin to eliminate the want to out of it and get it as if it was the positive, the present right now. I succeed. I generate income. I have language that gives me exactly what I want. Are you getting the point of this?
Yes. Isn't that the section of NLP where we talk about how important it is to act as if?
And it's act as if. There's a way of getting yourself from, well, I know what I want now, so that's a big thing. I got the energy to, still nothing happened, but I want to get to actually taking action about something. Well, there's one idea of it, and it's a thing that the government spent lots of money on figuring this thing out, because if you remember the Pretender television show, they actually spent a lot of money teaching people how to be doctors one day, fighter pilots the next day, those kinds of things. So what if you could do anything that you could even imagine doing in a really short period of time like those people do? NLP is based on finding people who are good at what they do and finding out how they do it. So we study those kinds of people to figure out what are the critical elements of it. People who, you'll notice this for yourself, there have been times when you said in your head, I don't know how to do this, and yet you started acting as if you could do it. You just started somewhere. Doesn't matter where. You get started at some point. Even a small action today, repeated tomorrow and the next day, and over a 30-day period of time is going to create a huge behavioral change and action out in the world. So you'll get different results than you would have gotten if you hadn't acted now. So acting as if is a way that you'll find that you're doing things you didn't even think you could do just because you act as if you could. And I think most people have at least some example in their life of actually that happening for them. So you can probably think back and remember something like that occurring for you.
You're so right, Bill, and that's so important how we language things and what we say means things, and specifically what meanings people put upon this. So it's really important that we take care of our words. Stay tuned for more Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. We're going to talk about the big budget and what S&P did last night that's going to affect your entire financial future. Or will it? You'll just have to stay tuned to find out. You're listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. We'll be back with more after this.
Part of Two for the Road USA. I'm the X for Boomer and X. I've been test driving cars for several years, but in the last 18 months, I found it difficult to get in and out of the test vehicles. I kept complaining the manufacturers didn't make the seats large enough until I realized it was me who was too large at 220 pounds. Thanks to the Diradori weight loss program, I lost 50 pounds. The Diradori program is physician-supervised, non-surgical, safe, and effective, and you can lose up to 5 to 10 pounds the first week and 15 to 20 in a month. I did. It controls hunger and trains your body to burn fat, all on an easy-to-follow regimen of exercise, hydration, and delicious, healthy eating. It is a three-phase program combining medication, nutrition, and exercise. This is an affordable program with counselors available at any time. I went from a size 20 to a size 10 in 7 months, and I feel like a different person. Check out my photos on twoforthroadusa.com. Click on Watch Melanie Lose Weight on Diradori. Call Diradori now at 480-661-9662.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420. Or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K-Free Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power, or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95. at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, Industries.com. Like, go there, totally!
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, and I am she, your hostess with the Financial Moses. And before we get back to Bill, I just wanted to make some comments about what's going on with the S&P and the big downgrade. If you haven't heard about it, it's here, and the sooner you pay attention, the better off you are going to be. Now, what I'm speaking about is the Standard & Poor's rating systems for bonds. This is how a risk is assessed. This is how interest rates are determined on bonds. And a bond is unlike a share of stock, which has ownership. A bond is simply a debt instrument. So if you buy a bond for my company and, you know, it costs you $100, if I have a super high credit rating, that means that I will have to pay just a minimum amount of interest enough to get you to invest in it. But as a result, you know, because of this rating system, that my bond is a secure bond. I pay my bills. You know you're going to get your money back. So if you give me $100 back, you know that you're going to get your interest rate. So let's say, and I'm just picking arbitrary numbers, they're not related to what's going on in the market. Let's just say it's 5%. Okay. So what happened to the U.S. Treasury bond, and that's how we sell debt, people, mostly foreigners, buy our debt, and then, oh, we're playing this stupid shell game of where we're buying our own debt, so we're just printing money. By the way, if you wondered why your dollar isn't buying as much, that's why. So imagine, if you will, that you've been buying my bonds, and then all of a sudden, because of some money management issues, because I haven't kept my house in order, if you will, now the rating system says, hey, you're not a AAA, you're a AA+. So I just got a whack to my credit. So if you think about a perfect credit score, so if you are in the 800s and then all of a sudden you get bumped down to the low 720s, which 720, by the way, is still fabulous, but what's happened here is now I'm going to have to, as the issuer of the debt, pay you more interest on that bond. So I was paying you 5% on the good bond when I had the AAA rating. But now that I'm down to AA+ with comments that it's going to go down further, now what's happening is I'm going to have to pay you more interest to get you to still buy my debt, because now you're concerned that it's not as stable as it once was. So instead of paying 5%, I'm going to have to pay like 7.5% to get you to loan me that same $100. That make sense? So that's what's happened because of this stupid debacle with the posturing of the Senate and the House doing the retarded things that we didn't elect them to do, and then the few people that stood on principle that went there to do what they were elected to do got persecuted and vilified as terrorists. And so Standard & Poor's back in April threatened that this was going to happen. They said, if you cannot get your crap together, then we're going to downgrade you. Why is this important? Bonds get upgraded and downgraded all the time, you say. Why is this important? Well, in the history of the United States issuing debt, this has never happened to us. Okay? The leader of the free world, all of a sudden, we went from having primo credit, okay? So we were in league with some of the most fabulous currencies in the world. Now, not so much. Now we have been downgraded. And so as a result of this downgrade, it's going to have a little bit of effect nationally and personally. And that's what I wanted to chat with you about. So as a result of this, all right, the government is going to have to pay more to borrow the money. And clearly we can't pay the money that we have. So what's going to happen? How do we pay our bills? You, the homeowner, the individual, the renter trying to save for a home, the person that has a bunch of student loans. When your interest rate goes up and you only make 10 bucks a week, but you need 12 to pay your bills, what do you need to do? You need to get another $2 a week. So how do you do that? Well, you got to generate revenue. So you and I would go get a job. And if we already had a job that didn't pay us enough, we'd figure out how we could get promoted, or we'd get a second job on the side to get that extra $2. Well, not the United States government. See, what they're going to do is now they said, okay, we weren't going to raise taxes. We're going to try to do this without raising taxes. We're just going to cut spending. But because they didn't do what they said they were going to do, the S&P was looking for about a $4 trillion cut in spending, and they got less than half of that, and it's a shell game again. So what's going to happen? You, Mr. Taxpayer and Mrs. Taxpayer, you, hardworking American, are going to get screwed with higher taxes. Because you know what they say? They always say they're taxing the rich, but what people don't understand is the way they have that stupid sliding scale that if you make 100 grand or more, you're considered rich. Do you feel rich, Mr. or Mrs. Small Business Owner, that after you pay all of your bills and pay all your employees, you'll be lucky if you personally clear 100 grand for taking the risk of being an entrepreneur? And now, instead of having to give over 28 cents of every dollar to Uncle Sam, now you're going to have to give over 32 cents or 35 cents or God only knows what number they're going to come up with, because they think that you, the person that makes over $100,000, is rich. Now, I don't know about you, but I am not rich if I'm only making 100 grand. I'm not netting 100 grand. So now I'm netting probably like 72 today, after I have to give over my chunk to Uncle Sam, and let's not forget about State Sam. So let's just say out of the 100 that I make, I actually am allowed to keep, let's say, $65,000. Now, what am I going to do with that $65,000? I got to pay my mortgage. I got to feed and clothe my kids. I've got to save for my own retirement. I've got to set money aside for them to go to school. And I kind of want to enjoy today. I'd like to go out to the movies and take my family to the movies, or go on some sort of an adventure, or visit, you know, an amusement park. I just want to sit around and watch TV all day. And I've worked hard. I followed the American dream. I started my own business. And this is what I'm going to get paid back. So that's one of the things that you have to be concerned about, is higher taxes. And then if you were in the market for a home, what's going to happen is the interest rate on your mortgage will go up, because mortgage rates are based off of the treasury plus what they call a margin. Okay, so you're looking at paying 1.25% to 1.5% more on your loan. So just as a simple example, on a $200,000 loan, you would see your interest payments go up by $36,000 over the course of your mortgage. So if you think of it as a 30-year mortgage, so you're going to pay an extra $1,200 a year. So that's another $100 a month to your mortgage. So is that really where you want to be? Well, this is what we get for the people that we elected. This is the change that we were promised. Now, I wonder how much we really like it. In addition to that, because we bloated our budget, we raised the debt ceiling, and then we do this stupid shell game of buying our own treasuries, so we're essentially printing money, that means inflation is going to go up. So based on whatever you were saving for retirement, now you're going to have to save that much more to outpace inflation because your dollar is going to be worth less. So MSN Money has some really cool retirement calculators and things that you can use to plan. But what you need to be paying attention to, because here's something interesting. Even though the American household, our American government has taken and blown it when it comes to budgeting, and their whole balanced budget thing is a scam because they don't make people accountable in the government to the same accounting principles that you and me have to abide by when we go to pay our taxes. You know, if your business makes over $4 million a year, you have to use a certain form of accounting. But yet, Uncle Sam makes over $4 million a year, but they don't use that same form of accounting. And it's pretty sad. You can visit unlockyourwealth.com and listen to a previous broadcast where we talk more about that, and we have a special guest on that actually talks about the accounting of the federal government and how it's such a sham. There's no such thing as a balanced budget using their methodology. And if they were supposed to use our methodology that the IRS tax code makes us stand by, you would die. You would roll over laughing because if you didn't laugh your butt off, you'd be crying because you'd be so sad. But even as bad as Uncle Sam is, American households are in the worst shape they've ever been in 80 years. But here's how you can start to repair the damage. And I love this article by U.S. News and World Report. I used to watch Popeye growing up. I'm dating myself at 41. J. Wellington Wimpy. You know that guy? He was a funny guy. You probably just know him as plain old Wimpy, and he was on Popeye, and he was the lovely gentleman who was so polite, but he would always say, "I will gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today." So he was very lazy, and he was quite gluttonous, and so he would borrow for his burgers. All right, well, we, as the United States, have created that same issue in our own personal lives. The free burgers from the United States have flowed for some time, but according to this author, the patrons have grown wise to the scam. The pitch of pushing off today's payment until some future Tuesday has become a bit haggard and worn thin for many in America. Just take a look at Greece, Portugal, and Spain, and other countries like them to see what it's like to have one hamburger taken away. And the forced diet does not look so pretty. I just love the analogy here. Now, U.S. citizenry passionately criticize our own federal government for running up a deficit, but here's the irony, okay? When you point fingers, you must remember you have three pointing back at you, and when it comes to money management, Americans are worse than their own government counterpart. Now, while the government sits at a 94% national debt-to-revenue ratio, U.S. household debt is at 107%. So for every $100 U.S. citizens make, we are spending $107. So that can't go on forever. We have seen this starting to collapse as we lived with a negative savings rate. Now, American households' debt has ballooned, doubling from $7 trillion in just 2001 to $14 trillion in 2007. Now, debt fears were assuaged by the rapidly growing value of real estate and homeowners' equity lines, and folks just treated their homes like ATM machines. Were you one of those? And then all of a sudden, when home prices retreated, what happened? Oops! We had a bit of a problem. But I digress. We have some specific techniques that you can find on our website after the show that will help you assess the mess, as well as today's strategic plan that is for our hope for the best, plan for the worst key. Let's take a moment and finish up with our interview with Bill Thomason, and then we will move on to today's key.
Oh, and I loved that TV show, The Pretender 2. That was so great because I was like, oh, man, you know, it's the ultimate fake it till you make it and act as if. You know, it's just, I remember one of my friends, we were really young and just kind of overachievers, and we used to do a lot of public speaking, and, you know, we were in our early 20s, and both of us came from very, very poor families, and he used to always say, I'm a millionaire, and then you would look at him because you'd know, like, you're 23, but then he would say, after he would say that, he would pause, and then he would say, I'm just telling you the truth in advance. And I loved that.
Go ahead.
Well, because it set you up for success. So when he would say that, you would look at him, and there was no question in your mind that he was committed to that. His physiology said so. The strength and power and conviction of his voice, his facial expressions, everything were in line with the fact that, by golly, he was a millionaire.
Yeah. And you'll notice that people who are highly successful in one area or another have a high level of congruence. And one of the things we actually teach, as if it was a skill, because you already know how to do this, when you know somebody, you just know that somebody is confident or successful in a particular area. They actually stand a certain way. They hold their body a different way. There's a way that they speak. And it's all the different parts of the behavior are in congruence. In other words, they all match up. They all sync up. When people are not congruent, you get a whole different impact. I can remember somebody coming to us in our business one day and saying, I'll do anything but right by you, and his head was shaking. Well, the shaking of the head didn't match what we thought. It sounded like he might be saying. In fact, as you listen to what I just said, listen to it again and see if you catch the problem with the sentence, I'll do anything but right by you.
Yeah.
I'll do anything but right by you. Now, some of you, when you heard me say it the first time, went, oh, he wants to do things right by them. But it's not what his programming calls for. So you begin to pay attention to the way people communicate, because to be that millionaire you're talking about, to be congruent in whatever area of success you're looking to be congruent in, we say that experience has structure. We can actually find out how that congruence works, how specifically you think about it, what the beliefs are that you're holding, and all the different aspects that go into it make up how you're going to model success with a particular individual. So there's actually a whole science around this. So those are some of the first clues. Speak in the positive, not the negative. Also, eliminate the qualifiers and the quantifiers out of the language. Make whatever your goal or outcome is self-generating. In other words, depends only on you to make the change. It's not about other people doing anything. Get to be 100% responsible for whatever's happening, and that's a pretty big conversation right there. How do you get to be 100% responsible for things? Point is, as you clean up your language, you'll find that the behavior tends to follow. So make it easier for yourself. Shift the language from being incongruent, from having too many qualifiers and quantifiers, into being self-generating, free of qualifiers and quantifiers, and action-oriented, and you'll find yourself simply getting more success.
So if we were to apply that, for example, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross writes about the grieving process, and the first stage is denial, and it takes us about 5 steps to get to acceptance. Without spending too much time, because I think a lot of people abdicate responsibility when it comes to money to other people, so they're not at fault. And I think that sometimes people feel like as if they accept responsibility, all of a sudden that they have to accept some fault, and it's so much easier to blame others. Well, if my job, my boss wouldn't have fired me, and, you know, if I'd have been born in a better income bracket, because that was the one I used to always say.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, if this, or if my husband or my wife or my kids or whatever, and is there a way that we can move to complete acceptance and 100% responsibility without having to get caught up in the blame cycle and just say, look, okay,
yeah,
things have been bad, and it doesn't matter whose fault it is. What matters is that I'm willing to take 100% responsibility for this and move forward and take an empowering move by accepting it. Is there a way we can do that and be congruent and get from that denial to acceptance without punishing ourselves?
Well, I think there is, and I thank you for asking and framing that question. The first thing that came up to me, and I think Kubler-Ross would agree with this, because what she's about in the grieving process, it's a healing process. When I have people who come to me for business coaching or for life coaching, quite often what's in the way of success for people is, first of all, it's negative programs. It's also the piece about the blame thing, that whatever is happening out there is to blame for it, and it's, we're coming back to that 100% responsibility. The second thing is about forgiveness. And quite often I have to take people through some process, because for them to get free in the programming, the idea that the early programming got in place by the time of your 4 or 5 years old, certainly by age 7 most of it, early in life, and you're still running your life, when you get a little stressed, there's probably about an 8-year-old or 9-year-old or younger in there who's running your game. Well, if you could forgive the people, could be mom, could be dad, could be somebody else, whoever you're holding blame or resentment for, you think about, well, who does that really hurt? For you to hold those negative emotions in your body, it's not very healthy. It's not healthy for your body, and it's not healthy for your mind and emotion and spiritual being. So forgiveness is a big part of it, and people just don't know how to forgive sometimes, and they don't realize that it's not really about the other person who you forgive for, that it's really going to do the most for you, because quite often, whoever you're holding that resentment against, they don't even know. Even if they do, they may not care. So who's suffering? You're suffering. Why not let yourself out of the prison? So forgiving yourself is going to be the ultimate thing. You may need to forgive some other people in your life first, and when it gets to yourself, you're going to be free. From that point, you can build a new future, and it's an incredibly important piece of how you create the successes and model the expertise and genius of other people in the world that you would like to be like. To create those riches, to create the success and the keys, go to forgiveness first, and let the energy get freed up again that you were holding to keep everything together. So imagine how much energy that would create in your life and what you'd be doing with that energy if it got freed up today. because what I know is that forgiveness happens in a blink of an eye. It happens in a moment. It may take you, in fact, change in general happens in the blink of an eye. It may take you years to build up to a point where you're ready to change, and in the moment you do, your whole life opens up. Things become possible that simply weren't before.
So, Bill, how can people get a hold of you?
Well, thank you for putting the website link. My telephone number is 602-321-7192. 602-321-7192. And email is NLPskills. N as in Nancy, Larry Paul, SKILLS. NLPskills@earthlink.net.
Great.
We have so much more to squeeze in, but we need to hear briefly and take a break from one of our sponsors, and we will be back with more Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio coming up right after this.
Are you a referral partner of the Unlock Your Wealth radio program? Would you like to promote your products and your services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call now at 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Reach the people who need your help the most with the Unlock Your Wealth radio show today.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, and it is now time for our key in our Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series. Thanks so much for listening to today's show, and for those of you who are dropping by for the first time, welcome. We're so glad to have you. I hope you're enjoying things. And this week, our key is Hope for the Best, Plan for the Worst is our sixth key in our Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series. And for those of you that are joining us for the first time, the Keys to Riches is a baker's dozen of financial concepts that teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money, giving you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, reduce debt, save and invest, building wealth holistically while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And we do that one key at a time, one week at a time. And this week's key is hope for the best and plan for the worst. And this key is so important because this is where we can get sidelined, we can be blindsided, we can be completely taken out of the game if we're not careful because of catastrophic events, things that have nothing to do with you. It wasn't you who got into the car drunk and drove, but yet it's you laying in the hospital paralyzed or quadriplegic, or perhaps you're hanging on for dear life and you are not even prepared to address any of your family. You're listening to them talking around you, but you don't have a plan in place, and it's too late to start working on one because the time is now that your plan needs to take into effect. What happens if you get hurt on the job and you don't have enough money to sit and take care of your family while you're in this particular injured state, and you don't have any emergency fund and you don't have what you need? You don't have, you just can't do it because, well, we didn't think about things. And I know the first thing that people say to me is, Heather, why are we talking about the worst things in the world that can happen to us when you say we've got to focus on what we want because what we think about, we bring about. Well, that is true. But here is why you need to think about these catastrophic what-ifs, because the important thing to remember is that while we are stressed out about the what-if and not thinking about them and making them knowns as opposed to unknowns, even though our conscious mind is thinking about what it is that we do want and not what we don't want, the unconscious mind is busy freaking out because it doesn't know what to do in the event of emergency, and it dwells on it, and you're still working on it. Here's the beauty of a plan B. When you create a plan B, you almost never have to use it because you've thought out the scenario. You've played out every option in your mind, and so nothing is unknown. You've considered every angle, and so that you know that the course of action you have chosen for your plan A is the right one, and you were prepared in case people want to try to derail you from plan A, you have plan B. But because you took care of identifying all of those fears that are unknown to you right now, your mind is now free to focus truly on what it is that you do want, both consciously and subconsciously. So that is why we must take care of this. So for this week's key in our Keys to Riches, financial wellness series, our key statement is, while I remain optimistic about my financial future, I am keenly aware that catastrophe may occur to me or my family at any time and could materially alter my financial picture, so I must be prepared for the unknown. Our key affirmation is, I am prepared for any financial situation that life may throw at me. And our key action item is to sit down with yourself and your significant other, if you have one. List every possible outcome that may beset your family. Things like you or your spouse or both of you at the same time losing a job, an unexpected pregnancy, the sudden responsibility of an indigent parent, an injury or an accident that may keep you from working, but you're still alive and have to pay the bills. Death of an income-producing spouse, an unforeseen lawsuit, a physical or mental limitation in a child or a sibling that may require additional care or treatment not covered by insurance. These are just a few of the things that you can anticipate and plan for. And by having a plan B is like an insurance policy for the plan A that you pay for but never use. Now, this is part of your key strategy, so all you need to do is visit unlockyourwealth.com, and this key action item for this week is to go to the website and take a look at those particular items on the punch list and go out and address all of those issues and add to the list, because I may not have every answer. You might have already experienced other situations that aren't even on this list, but think them out. Of course, you're not going to be able to write $1 million check and cover it today, but that's what insurance is for. And if you have mentally gone through the hoops, you've identified what it is that you may need down the road. Is Alzheimer's likely in your family? Do you have parents that have been on long-term care? This may be a likely situation for you. All you got to do is address these things. I am so grateful for you guys dropping by. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. And be sure to visit the website at www.unlockyourwealth.com for this week's featured strategy. Also, Insiders Club members, each week we have a new lucky winner. Just by being a member, you can accumulate fabulous motivational and personal development tools, all just by working on your own financial freedom. Isn't that amazing? So finally, financial freedom can be yours at www.unlockyourwealth.com. Now go out and make it a money-savvy day. I'm Heather Wagenhals saying thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you at unlockyourwealth.com.